Can man handle absolute power? Absolute philosophy. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Our topic this evening, can man handle absolute power? Absolute philosophy. And the answer is a simple no. Man cannot handle absolute power and absolute philosophy. So, have a good evening, and it's wonderful talking to you. While it's true man cannot handle absolute power and absolute philosophy, the divine in man is absolute power and is absolute philosophy. If we're going to look at our human self and try to understand the absolute power, we are confused totally. Now just think of this. We have said God is omnipotent. God's all-powerful, which is the biggest joke in the universe. God cannot be all-powerful because he has nothing over which to be powerful. God is all. God does not need to exercise power to bring anything about. Anyone want to give me the answer? God has already created everything that is. There's nothing new to be created. There's nothing new to be brought forth in the universe. It's only from the human point of view that we think we have to think our thought and have the power of the universe vibrate to bring it about, which is a nice phrase for a human being. But for an absolute or a divine being, it is ludicrous. It is totally without any significance at all. Because God does not have to have power to accomplish anything. Now, another one that's ludicrous, God is all-knowing. Well, he's all-knowing of what? What does God know? God is all. There is nothing for him to know. God is everything. There is nothing for him to be a thing about. And God's not a him. God is principle. God is the allness. And you see, we have been trained so long and so well to think that God is on cloud nine, and to think that we pray with our hands put together to a deity outside of ourselves, that we just have not really listened at all to the truth. And I know the truth, and if you will listen to me, you will know the truth too. And the truth will set you free. I know that. You know? Okay. Herb, you are talking like an idiot. Yeah, I guess so. I'm saying the words that Jesus said. Jesus said, God is all. Jesus said, God dwells within each man. Jesus said, ye are God. Jesus said, the things that he has done, we can do also, and greater things than these shall we do. Jesus said, all exists now. And so many other things that he has said, which we could go by, but that's enough for the moment. What are you going to think about God when you think that you are God? Are you going to think that you are all-powerful, all-knowing? Are you going to think, what are the three things? Omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence, right? How can God be everywhere present when God is the presence everywhere? There is not something that it can be individually, uniquely, because if it is something individually and uniquely, it is that individual, unique thing and not the allness. Now, that's a very difficult and a very profound concept, but that's the truth. Because if you are all-knowing, then you cannot know something. You know everything. If you are everywhere present, you cannot be present somewhere and not present somewhere else. You are always present everywhere. And if you are all-powerful, you are in the existence of the... Well, now, take this as an illustration. Is an atom all powerful? No. Is an atom very powerful? No. An atom is absolutely nothing. An atom is an is. But split it, and wow, you open it up, and the power that is in it is outstanding. It's amazing. But you don't realize it. And that power is so great. It's so overwhelming. But that's only one atom. One atom in the infinity of atoms that makes up the entire universe. Just imagine if every atom had a holiday and they all decided to split at one time. It's something we cannot even comprehend, but it's very interesting. It's very interesting. Well, even the atom that splits does not split. You say, well, they make the atomic bomb and they're using the atom to make energy, atomic energy, to run power plants and do other things. No, they aren't. They're using the idea of atomic energy. They're not using atomic energy. Because if they were to use atomic energy, if they were ever to really split one atom in the entire universe, they would split every atom. And that's an impossibility. Because the power of every atom exists right now. Boom. Right now, to do whatever you want to do. And you can call it forth because it exists. You as a human being. You don't have to split it. You don't have to be an Einstein. You don't have to be the great Oppenheimer and the other people who've been bringing these things forth. You don't have to be them. You can just mentally have it. Can you, in your mind, think of the bomb dropping on Hiroshima and think of the great cloud that it created and the terrible energy that seemed to be existing there? That was just an illusion. Now, do you believe it was an illusion? If you believe it was an illusion, then it did not really happen. It's just a thought of your mind. Now, you watch. As mankind becomes more proficient in his illusions and smashing the hydrogen atom and smashing other what they might call compound atoms, oh, he'll come up with some great old energy things, you know, some great old power things. But they're just illusions. And after all is said and done, whoosh, it's back to natural again. What happens when man stops playing his game in the wilderness? Nature returns to its own, doesn't it? Everything goes back to normal. When man denudes the earth of all its lovely trees and greenery and stuff like that, we think, oh my God, what's going to happen to the earth? Well, nothing. It will completely destroy itself, you might say, or you know, rot takes place, you know, and mildew takes place, and things change in their appearance. And they rot away, and from dust to dust, as the saying is, you know. Well, now, what happens? What happened? That's just an illusion, too. Now, if we are so wise in knowing what illusions are, why don't we realize that the illusion of us as God, as absolute, as the allness, is right now? Can you visualize that? Can you think of that? Can you think that you might be the allness, that you might be omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent? You are. Then when you start playing with that illusion, what's going to happen now? Sylvia, she walks in town and she starts smiling at people and people smile back at her and they say, my God, what a lovely lady. What a warm-hearted, friendly lady. What a good person. 10 seconds before, she wasn't there. And they didn't say that. 10 seconds later, she's there, and her attitude, her consciousness is there, and the people are in a totally different world. You understand? A totally different world. But it's an illusion. It's an illusion she created because that's what she likes to create. Ingeborg was living in an apartment in El Cajon, and she had a bunch of Mexican neighbors and stuff like that. She didn't speak Spanish or anything. Else. And what does she do? She opens a church. And she invites these people to come and counsel with her. And these people who don't hardly know English at all, which is a great way of saying they don't know English very well, they talk with her. And they feel she's a magic lady. They feel she is something sent to them directly from God to open up their hearts to a new understanding. Ellen, she's the most silly person in the world. She goes around the world, and wherever she is, she opens up her atomic energy. She opens up her inner bubble of enthusiasm, and boom, everybody says, what happened, you know? And they say, oh, Ellen's here. Oh, yeah, oh, wow, 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 wow. You know, and they just feel like she is a sparkle of their life in a way that's unimaginable. It's amazing. It's impossible for anybody else to do that, or is it? But you see, that's Ellen's way. And you, what do you do, Esther? You go to Sai Baba, and he says, kiss my feet, and you say, up your nose, you know. You say, listen, friend, you told me something and I believe it. You said that he is God, and he says, that's right, I am God, but so are you. I am God and I know it, but you just don't know it. And when you know it, then you'll have me kiss your feet. You know? But aside from that, but you see, this is the way you're going around to all these teachers, all these gurus, all these people worldwide, and learning from them. I was just telling about some of our students in Switzerland. They have a group there, and they're going to go hear Eckhart Tolle. You've heard of Eckhart Tolle? He is a young man who is teaching in the now, living in the now. And he's quite popular and quite amazing. And they're going to go and hear him. But what's going to happen to them when they go hear him? They're going to say, wow, 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 wow. And when they leave, they're going to say, what happened? What happened? Because it is so spontaneous and so intellectual that it is almost impossible to put it into focus. His books are, what's the title?
In the Now.
Living in the Now. Yeah, mm-hmm. Living in the Now. And he's written several others. But he's, I don't know what is he, 35, 45, something like that. But he's just an amazing young man, just fabulous. And he's teaching this and giving seminars and giving programs on it, lectures. And people are taking to it very well. Except, I think I know what the reason is that it is going to not be any bigger than it is. Are you familiar with transcendental meditation? Mm-hmm. Well, transcendental meditation is a very fabulous program. It's a very marvelous program. When people study transcendental meditation, they enter into a very deep understanding of themselves. But if they don't have anything there with which to connect, they feel empty. And that's why transcendental meditation has just sort of faded out as a fad, because it did not have within itself its own connection to the divine within. If the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi would have taught them that there is a divine spark within them, and that now they're going to tune into that divine spark as they go into their transcendental meditation, boom! It'd be like an atomic bomb. It'd be fantastic. Because the technique does work, and it has been used by many people. And the people who used it, they used it in healing, they used it in various things, and it was good. But it otherwise was empty. And anything that's empty, the reason that Jesus, over 2,000 years ago, has his philosophy still being current today, is because he had a philosophy that works. He had a teaching that works. The reason that the Jews are following a philosophy after all these many hundreds of years, thousands of years, is that it works for them. The only difficulty for the Jews is that they think that it works only for them, and that they are a special group, and this makes them disliked by everyone. If they were to say that their philosophy was a universal philosophy, that everyone can be a Jew, that everyone is a Jew, really, basically they are, and of course in the Old Testament, everyone really is, but they fail to see that. And of course, you talk to the Buddhists, you talk to the Hindus about that same thing, and they will say, our teaching. And you talk to the Muslims, and they will say, our teachings. And you talk to the Christians, and they'll say, our teaching. And this is the silliest thing. It is not our teachings. If everyone could go back to the basic philosophy, and the basic philosophy is principle, if everyone could just go back to principle, then we would be having terms like absolute power, absolute philosophy. We would have terms like all is absolute, all is now, all is beautiful. And when we do that, then there's no judgment between your group and my group. There's no sect, because who can put a sect around absolute? Who can put a sect around something that doesn't have a man, a leader, a person who has shown the way in it? Regardless how significant we think Christianity is. Christianity is not the greatest religion in the world. It runs, I don't know, what does the almanac say? It runs about the eighth of all religions of the world. I mean, we think we're the greatest and in numbers, and we don't have the greatest numbers. We do have a great teaching, though. Certainly a lot of beautiful, wonderful ideas, and look up religions of the world if you do. But can man handle absolute power, absolute philosophy? Man can't, but the divine in us can, because it is who we are. We are the absolute. We are the power of the universe. We are all that. But when we realize it, then we are not the power of the universe. When we realize we are omnipresent, then we are not everywhere present. We are a presence that stands in itself, nowhere and yet everywhere. When we are omniscient, all-knowing, we are all knowledge, but we are not any individual knowledge. And when we are omnipotent, we are all power. But there's nothing over which to have power, because we are the allness by our thought. Ellen walks into a room and sparkles her eyes and her thought and her mind, and the whole room livens up and says, what's happening here? Something's going on. And what's going on is a divine being is being divine in their presence. Wonderful, isn't it? Think on these things. They get you started in a good direction, and they open up doors for you that will be unbelievable as you go on in your life. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.